Thanks a million, Eileen.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Yes, it is. Good afternoon. It is Friday, guys. The weekend is here. Hope all is good. Let me know what you've got planned. Are you chilling already? Maybe you're in the car heading away for the weekend. You could be in the garden planning what you're going to eat for the night that's ahead. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. But first, a set of very special knickers has gone missing from a washing line in Limerick City. Yes, the knickers had the letters L-I-M-E-R-I-C-K sewn onto them, and Denise Houlihan and her neighbours in the Irish Estates in Corbally woke up to find that the knickers had gone missing from the line, and they are feared stolen, guys. They were taken from a washing line that stretched across the green in their estate. And according to the Irish Independent today, following the Hurlers All-Ireland win last month, more undies were added with the letters W-E-L-L-D-O-N-E. Well done. Across the bum of the knickers. Which means now 17 pairs of extra large undies are missing from the line. Now, all jokes aside, these knickers do have huge sentimental value because they were hand sewn by a fantastic woman, by all accounts, a woman named Sinead Dineen. She passed away from cancer in 2019. So there is actually a serious call out on social media from Sinead's friends, Denise being one of them. And she wrote, please return our magic knickers. They're way too big for you anyway. So it's one of those things. Yes, a joke to those maybe who stole them, but they mean a lot to the people of the Irish Estates in Corbally. So get those knickers back to Corbally. That is what we say. But you know, it did get us thinking today about the things that we keep that bring us luck. Be they lucky knickers, lucky pants, a lucky tie, maybe a piece of jewellery. So is there anything out there that you believe that you have that brings you luck? Let us know. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Maybe you've been lucky in love and you put it down to a little treasured possession you have. Or I know with athletes before a game, some of them, like, they have a particular way of getting dressed, like little superstitions. So let us know. Yes, disappointment today, feeling for the people of Belfast, because seven cities were in the running to host the Eurovision next year, and they've been announced, and unfortunately Belfast is not on the list. Ukraine, as this year's winners, would normally be the host country, but because of the war, obviously the UK will host as they came second. But we'd hope to see Belfast on the list. No Belfast. Sadly, no city in Northern Ireland was on the shortlist. No Welsh cities either. So the biggest surprise is that London didn't even make the cut. So the cities that are in the running: Birmingham, Glasgow, Leeds, Liverpool, Manchester, Newcastle and Sheffield. So the successful city is going to be decided in autumn, and it's always an interest for most people in Ireland. So we'll be keeping an ear out for that. What else? Yes, this morning I was having a right old rant to the team before our meeting because I rang my bank this morning and I had been left on hold 32 minutes. While I was waiting to be transferred to the right department. Is there anything more irritating? And especially when it's so goddamn hot outside. And you've better things to be doing with your life, right? But you know when you're waiting and you're afraid to give out or say anything out loud in case it's being recorded or anyone can hear you at the other end? Well, the Guardian decided to investigate this very thing and they got on to call centre expert. How do you become a call centre expert? Anyway, this fella, Justin Tibbett. And the main thing they found is that if you are put on hold and music is playing, then they can't hear you. But if you're just put on mute, they can hear you even though you can't hear them. So if there's silence on the line, what they're saying is you got to watch what you say. Apparently the most common things call centre workers hear are flushing toilets, cooking and eating noises, and also, it goes without saying, giving out about the call centre worker to somebody else in the house. So there you go. And I suppose we've all been privy to conversations that we shouldn't have heard. So what we want to know today is, have you ever overheard something that you wish you hadn't? Now, it will remain completely anonymous. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Get them into us. Yes, that is a bit of drum and bass on a Friday. And don't worry, you haven't changed stations. But if you told me this morning that I would be outside RTE DJing drum and bass on a bike, I would have thought that I might have been suffering from a little bit of heat stroke. But no, that is exactly what happened in just the last half an hour. Dom Whiting cycled his specially modified bike out here to Donnybrook. I jumped on a bike and I was cycling along behind him to that music. He is here because his drum and bass on the bike event is taking place this weekend in Dublin. It has been massively popular in the UK and Europe, and he's here to tell us how you can join in. Hello again, Dom.
How are we doing? All right.
I can hear you this time.
Yeah, it was a bit loud at the front.
So just try and describe what was happening. You brought this specially modified bike. Describe it to us first.
So, yeah, it's a Danish bike going by the name of a Christiania. And, I've came up with an idea to bolt my decks on there with a couple of bits of welding contraptions and a few nuts and bolts. And
So you're a DJ by profession, are you?
Technically not. No, I used to... Disappointed. No, I used to run my own vehicle repairs and servicing before I stopped answering my phone to customers for a week to build the bike. And now I'm no longer, and hopefully don't have to go back because I don't really like working on cars. But, you know, you never know what the future holds. But yeah, so we made the bike, and that's sort of it now. That's my full-time thing.
And I suppose I would probably describe it. You know that you see parents cycling around with the big buckets at the front that they put the kids into?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like that. So your decks sit out there. You've got a big boombox speaker on the front, one on the back.
Yeah.
And Jesus, it's loud. And you were saying that even when I was cycling around out there in front of RTE, mind you, apologies to anybody not just in RTE, anybody the whole length of Donnybrook there who was wondering what the hell was going on. That was myself and Dom on our little bike ride. It's loud, but that wasn't even as loud as it goes.
No. So that's just the speakers on my bike. Come the day, it will be at least four times out. We normally have about 15 speakers, and I think there's some more people who I've connected with in Dublin that have their own speaker setup. So I think that's iBike London will be bringing some stuff. So yeah, it's going to be good. And if you think that's loud, then come Sunday, it should be a bit more louder than that.
So during lockdown, some people learned a new language. Some people took up, I don't know, embroidery. You just took off on your bike on your own. And like, I mean, obviously music, you love it. It's your passion.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was your way of bringing clubbing, which was all shut down, bringing music to the people. And you started in where's your hometown? Where did you start? Where was the first one?
So I'm just out of London in Buckinghamshire. And the first one was in Marlow. So yeah, I mean, it was at the height of where we couldn't go out, or we couldn't actually do anything apart from exercise, which kind of correlates into why I did it. But yeah, I mean, mainly is because we couldn't have live music, and I used to run an event myself with a couple of friends in town, and obviously we couldn't do that. So I took my initiative and
built your bike. How many people turned up to the first one?
It was just me. So the first couple the first drum and bass rides were just me, until I think the third or fourth ride, where we had about 15-20 people, and then it sort of doubled each time, and now we're sort of at a happy medium of, well, anything between 500 to 2,000. So yeah.
You've had 2,000 people.
Yeah, yeah.
Like on a bike ride with you. Where was that?
So we had Bristol this year, which I would definitely say there was comfortably 2,000 people, and then Berlin, I'd comfortably say there was more, but I'll just say a safe bet of 2,000 people. And it was pretty special actually to go that far away from home in Germany, like not in my own country, to have such a turnout. Next on the list is Dublin. So we'll see how it
obviously just filters and word spreads through social media and all the muso heads, the drum and bass heads, everybody. And then again, people who are into cycling. So anybody can go. You can bring your dog, your partner, any kids.
Yeah, anyone's welcome. I mean, we've had pets on the ride before. Most famously, we've had a parrot, Dave the Amazon, and
a parrot.
Yeah, we've had a parrot. Mate, he's got a parrot on his shoulder, and he doesn't move. Like, he's at the front. If you see him back on the video, he's just there at the front. But yeah, it's open to anyone, and I think that's why it's so unique, but why it's so appealing to not just the younger ages, not just the middle ages, but we've had people that are 60, 70 year olds on the ride. So I think it's just one of those things that maybe you don't see so often, as much as it being such a skeptical, actually what it is more than that. There's
It's
variation.
Amazing. I've watched a couple of the videos on YouTube over the last few days, and it's hilarious. And I love when there's a few of the videos where a car all of a sudden just comes to a halt as like a procession of 1,000 cyclists all like clubbing on their bikes, jamming away, having a dance. And you can just see complete confusion. What is going on? So actually, let's talk about the event that's taking place in Sunday. We'll set the scene. Tell us where you're starting. Can you remember the route? Like, do you know where you're going?
Yeah, I know.
Who's going to be there? Like, what time are you kicking off at?
So we're starting at 2 p.m. from the Hugh Lane Gallery, Dublin City Gallery, and then we'll be going down O'Connor Street, which will be fun because it looked absolutely ram jam when I was there last week.
And on that note, how do you manage with, like, with, you know, the legalities of all of this and... pedestrians and cars and people trying to get places and they can't get there because of you lot.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, if there's like authorities and things trying to get through, we do come out of the way. But because we're moving, it's not really so like static and you can't get through. We're just causing you a couple of minutes congestion. But yeah, that's quite hard. But we have like a selection of marshals normally at each ride.
Okay. And, so you're whizzing down O'Connell Street. You're clubbing away. Where are you going next?
So we're going to be going down sort of Temple Bar. So it's sort of one way. So we go around. Don't know what that road is. But yeah, down Temple Bar and then up to the City Hall and then left on Dame Street. I think right onto George Street.
Yeah, you got it.
And then straight down, and then I don't know what the right is, but it's the right that leads you back onto
up to Christchurch.
Yeah, up to Christchurch. So it's one of those rights there. I remember it when I'm there, but not the road name. And then through Christchurch, back down by Temple Bar, and then literally all along the other side of the river to the Grand Canal.
And why do you do it? I mean, like you don't make a few quid out of it. Like, what's your message with the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, like we touched on, I think it's just unique in its own way. And there's so many concepts and reasons behind why it's successful. Sustainability being one of them, because, you know, we always hear on the news about global warming and all this pollution stuff. And we are just on bikes. So it's, you know, helping in that sense, you know, uniting people, getting everyone together. And yeah, I don't know. It's when I'm on the bike, it's hard to describe when you just look around and it's just everyone's on the same level and you don't know who you're with, but it doesn't matter because you're all there for the same thing. So
I have to say, I had great crack earlier on. So you can follow your Instagram is at Dom Whiting and you'll be taking off from the Hugh Lane Gallery 2 o'clock on Sunday.
Yes.
I think I'll be there.
Hopefully.
Listen, nice to meet you. Let's get some music. This is Jessie Ware. It's the wonderful Jessie Ware with Free Yourself. We were talking about little lucky things. I was so attached to my communion book as a kid. Do you remember the prayer books people got when they made their communion? I was so terrified of losing it. Not exactly lucky, but just pure naked fear. I still have it, says Mary. Margaret says, I have a lucky sun hat that I bought on my first solo trip to Spain in 2013. And now is the first thing I pack when I'm traveling in Ireland or abroad. Keep them coming in. But now I want to tell you about this. Yes, we are reeling in the ears for the final time this week. And as usual, we've gathered up sounds and clips from over the years and decades, songs, news reports, TV shows and movies. And we are looking for two people to come on air and answer three questions. You know the twist at this stage. We can play you a short clip, which gets you 2 points, or a long clip, which should be a little bit easier for 1 point. So if you are brave enough to take part today, let me tell you about the prize that might tempt you to pick up the phone. You are playing for 2 nights bed and breakfast with one dinner for two adults in a 4-star hotel as part of the iNua collection. So the iNua collection have hotels right across Ireland. Kilkenny's chic Hibernian Hotel, you've got Dundalk's Fairways Hotel, the Tullamore Court Hotel or the Hillgrove Hotel in Monaghan, and any of the Radisson Blu hotels in Athlone, Cork, Limerick or Sligo. So something for everybody to enjoy. Overnight getaways, spa treatments, afternoon teas, you name it, it's there. So you can check them out, inua.ie, to see their whole collection. But we want to answer this question today. We want you guys to answer this question today to be in with a chance of winning. Today is World Elephant Day, but what Disney movie features a little elephant with big dreams and even bigger ears? Let us know. 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925. We want the name of the Disney elephant. And we will get you up on the line after 4 o'clock. Back after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we are in full holiday mode at the moment, and thankfully we're back travelling with gusto after being grounded for so long. Even though we'd probably never leave Ireland again if the weather was like this all summer. But we're taking the opportunity to get back out and explore and have adventures and visit new countries and fill ourselves up with new experiences. It's what it's all about. And I suppose I've always said, like, travel for me has always been an incredible opportunity, not only to escape the day-to-day reality and make lifelong memories, but it really can teach us a lot about ourselves as well. So every Friday for the next few weeks, we thought it would be good to chat to somebody about their holiday experiences, their life and travel, what it's taught them. And we want to know the greatest hits. We want to know the unforgettable moments, those holiday mishaps that become the stuff of side-splitting anecdotes. And today we are going to take that journey with the legend that is singer-songwriter Brian Kennedy.
Catherine Thomas.
How long has it been?
It's been too long. And you've had another human since I saw you last.
I have had another human.
How did that happen?
And I suppose it's fair to say your life ain't been a holiday.
No.
Over the last year or two.
That's correct, you know.
Sweet God.
Yes, I know that, as I always say, the four C's, the cancer, the chemo, cardiac arrest and COVID. Thanks very much.
That's all.
But sure, you know, we'll just take that on the chin and wherever else it wants to hit me. No, honestly, I'm in great
form.
In
all seriousness,
Let's not get too serious now.
I know, and you don't want to go there, but that is a lot that you've been through, and you've got an amazingly positive attitude, as always.
Yeah.
Even with another.
Well, the thing is, I'm one of the lucky ones. You know, there are so many people in my phone that I now cannot ever call again or text again because they're not here anymore, especially through cancer and things like that. And also men in general, we're so bad at looking after ourselves, even though I was, as you know, down the body burn gym, eating correctly, doing all the things I thought I was doing. Mm. Sometimes life has other plans for you and you just don't realize it. So I'm an eternal optimist. Mm. These things, whatever happened to me, did not knock that out of me. That muscle is very strong in me, I must say. Mm. You know, especially when the sun is out on a day like today.
I know.
I was driving over here looking at the canal going, look how gorgeous Dublin is. Stop
and it's
it
so great to hear you in good form.
Yeah.
So, well, let's go back in time. Tell me, talk to me about your first holiday memory. Like, do you remember?
Do you know, I'll never forget it. We were little kids on the Falls Road and, you know, everything's on fire. The soldiers are there shooting. It's all in black and white. It's all awful. But there's this kind of get out clause called Butlins, Mosny. Hotel, you know, holiday camp, right? Do you remember?
Yes.
In, I think it's near Bettystown, am I correct
in
saying that?
So oh my God, it was like the Kellerman's Resort of Ireland.
My God. So of course, 200 of us pile into an old car, down we go. But then of course, we have to encounter this border that young people don't know about anymore. So you'd sit at the border for 3 or 4 hours until finally the soldiers would search the car and search your luggage and finally allow you through. And of course, on those days, of course, isn't it always the sun is splitting the swans?
Of course.
I would say.
Yes.
You know, of course it's one of them. So somebody in the back sick, somebody else is too hot, my asthma's playing up, you know, stuff's going on. And we finally get, and as we get near Butlins, of course, then the parents go, right, you three get in the boot under the blankets, you know, so we're hiding in the boot. We're pretending there's only like three of us.
So you only have to pay for the three.
Yeah, so you have to pay for the three. Yeah. So finally about, as I say, 200 of us pile out of the car. The Catholics are in town. And so there we get into Butlins and we're sleeping in the corridors in wee sleeping bags and blankets. And of course we're having the time
But it was
of our
so
lives.
Exotic, wasn't it, back at the day?
They had a swimming pool that you could see from outside the building.
Yes.
So you would dive under and wave at people in the street. Hot donut machines, an outdoor skating rink. My mind was blown. I'm telling you, I look forward to it every single year. And then we met other people who laughed at our accents and we laughed at theirs. It was all really friendly. And I actually got a pen pal out of it, me being me. And I wrote to her for years and years and years afterwards.
And it must have felt like real freedom. You know, and then having to get back up and across the border
because it
was very real.
Very real. And I don't exaggerate it in some way that, you know, when you see the footage of the Ukraine situation, even though that's war on steroids. Mm. But certainly we had occupied territory. We had house raids. We had people killed in front of us. I mean, I saw all of these things. Mm. So to get to go to somewhere like Butlins was like manna from heaven. Freedom.
Magic.
No soldiers. Nobody stopping you, asking where you're going. People just giving you wee hot donuts and going to see bands play in the ballroom. I have a picture of me and my lovely brother Stuart in the Tarzan competition. The two of us just wearing wee kind of, you know, swimming shorts. And there we are. I mean, hilarious things like that.
I remember being in Mosny and we were there with the community games.
Yeah.
So I was part of the drama or the, you know.
Of course you were.
The fesh or whatever.
You couldn't
be on holiday, Catherine. No, I couldn't be on holidays.
God's sake.
But no, we never would have paid to go on holidays.
Yeah.
You know, it was like you were taken and you kind of, you know, got your few quid to go. But I just remember it was so exotic, like people, like kids that you'd never, you know, like really well dressed.
Yeah, well dressed kids, kids with different accents.
Yeah, it was that's so exotic.
Somebody with a guitar, you know, some we kids having a
sneaky cigarette,
bit of shoplifting going on, you know, a huge big lollipops the size of your head, you know, things like that. Never saw that before.
Well, we always remember our kind of our first holiday, our childhood holidays. What about your first solo holiday?
Well, do you know, I really a significant one would have been when I made two records in 1990 and 1991. I had a bit of success, but then got dropped. Suddenly I thought, what am I going to do? So like Samson, I cut all my hair off because by then it was down to my waist.
Mm. So what age were you at this point?
I was probably 25, 24. Okay. It's the first time I'd ever had any. Because my whole life,
so recognisable then as well. I mean, you had huge success by then.
Yes, I did, I suppose. But I was living in London. I bought an Amtrak rail ticket. I read a book called Confederacy of Dunces by a guy called John Kennedy Toole.
One of my favourites.
Right. And as you know, a posthumous book. It was published after he died by his mother and all of that. Set in New Orleans. So I decided I'm going to get a flight to New Orleans from London. I'm going to buy an Amtrak rail pass for like 2 months and just take the train, you know, indiscriminately. I was going to go west. And eventually my plan was to end up in New York at the Museum of Modern Art. We're having their first ever the most concise version of Matisse's work, let's say. And by then I was kind of getting into a bit of art, getting into stuff. In other words, pure notions about myself. Totally pure notions. But then the amazing thing was you're at the mercy of the timetable. So I might go to, I don't know, the Niagara Falls, but I'd be stuck there for 3 days because the next train west doesn't leave for 3 days. So what do you do with your time? I started meeting people, strangers, and all around the place, in bars, in parks. I was singing in subway stations. I didn't have a guitar with me, nothing. I had a freedom of adventure. Most people had no idea who I was except for Irish people. Okay. So I ended up in New York. I ended up singing with Jeff Buckley in a little cafe called Shin A in the East Village because I'd heard he was playing, but I was a fan of his dad, Tim Buckley. Jeff wasn't famous at this point. This is 1992.
Okay.
He was just about to be famous. So yeah, things like that happened.
What did you sing with him?
We sang You Send Me. Do you know that Sam Cooke song?
I do.
Real fantastic
I know
summer
it.
Song.
Let's have a little listen.
Oh, so you send me. I know you send me. I know you send me. Honest you.
Bar, Sinead singing that with Jeff Buckley.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's extraordinary. And I just remember thinking, God, here's somebody kind of a bit special. Very handsome fella, not my type, too skinny.
Okay.
But you know, very, very handsome, modelly kind of type fella. But just that extraordinary voice. And I'll never forget, he had a man called Tree Man on stage with him, who was an old black geezer who was covered in twigs and black plastic bags. And he slept in Central Park. So he would come down and kind of do this installation stuff, dance moves. If people at home, I'm doing dance moves. It's scary. So people like Tree Man showed up.
Yeah. I mean, what a way. I mean, that's such a romantic story. Like train travel in general is so romantic.
The movement of the train. I ended up writing a piece of poetry that became a song of mine called The Oldest Dream in the World. I started with the rocking of the train because the trains are like they're double and triple story trains, as you remember.
Yeah.
So huge, not like Irish trains at all. And so there I am, very, very high up, overlooking all of the landscapes. And as you know, a train journey west to the next town, it might take you 3 days.
Exactly.
Not 3 hours, three
and
days.
And there are people that you meet on that Amtrak train. Yeah. We went from New York to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And there are people that travel the trains
for years. For years and years.
For years. Right. So you meet all sorts.
I met this soldier guy who was saying to me, you're going to San Francisco. Okay, what you must not do is go to an area called Polk Street. Where did I go the second I landed in San Francisco? Polk Street.
And why should you not have gone there?
Well, because, of course, it was the dodgy end of town. There were lots of prostitutes and lots of all kinds of, you know, in other words, fabulous
exciting,
people with
exactly.
stories. Yeah. So I met this amazing couple, a guy and a girl, and I ended up being friends with them. I stayed in their apartment for a week.
Amazing.
And I was like, but they're going to work. I remember saying to them, but you're going to work. I could rob you. And they went, oh, you won't. And they just left me there. It's so amazing.
Incredible.
Great time.
Okay, so your best holiday experience ever. It's probably a hard one, but
it's a very hard one, but especially if it's not music related. But I have to say the most recent one. I went to Skopelos in Greece. I flew into Skiathos. I know you know this part of the world.
My favourite part of the world.
And for people at home, Skopelos is where they made Mamma Mia. So most people have seen that movie.
And why was it? Was that because everything that you've come through and come out of?
A little bit of that. I felt like I needed a proper rest.
Proper
COVID
holiday.
COVID really knocked it out of me. I think I had a bit of long COVID as well. I was really exhausted for a long time. And I didn't seem to be getting any better, but then it has turned around. So my friend, who's one of my oldest friends called Tom Lang, turned 60. He's the first of our group to turn 60. I'm going to be 56 in October, so I'm getting up there. But he's actually 6-0, ladies and gentlemen. Google him at home. Tom Lang is a great singer from Liverpool. So he decided he would rent a yacht, if you please, on the actual day of his birthday, which was the 25th of July. So we spent the day jumping off that yacht, swimming in that beautiful Aegean Sea.
You and know, there's no blue like it. No, I don't think there's blue anywhere in the world.
It's like a Matisse blue. No wonder he went there to paint. Absolutely extraordinary colours. Mm. The heat, of course. Now, I'm not great in the heat.
Okay.
First of all, the hair goes frizzy. Number one. I'm sure you can relate.
Yes, absolutely. That's right.
And then I just become this kind of freckle king. I just come out in all these millions of freckles.
And do you like Greek food?
I do mostly. I'm not a big fish person, actually.
Okay.
But I love the chicken. I love the I had salad every day.
Yes.
Loads of water. I like the beer too. Beer's
yes.
really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got into it. I experimented.
Do you do the tzatziki? Do you know?
Mastika was my favourite drink at the end of dinner. But tzatziki, absolutely. The love of yogurt.
Yeah, the Greek yogurt, garlic, cucumber.
Really,
and
garlicky.
I've tried to make it at home. It's like this dip. Everywhere that you go in Greece, they put it on a plate with an olive
That's
in the middle
right.
of it.
That's right.
And loads of crusty
fava.
Bread.
Fava is made out of fava beans. That's
fava
right.
beans.
I thought hummus was from Greece, but of course it's not.
It's not.
It's from the Middle East.
Yes.
I didn't realise this, so I got an education.
But I've tried to make tzatziki, that Greek yogurt. I've tried to make it at home and it just doesn't taste the same.
Get Parik to make it.
It definitely won't.
I mean,
taste
if you can't
same.
Do it, just move it on. Parik, get out to tzatziki. Come on now.
Okay, I mean, so that was, it was restorative for you.
It was. I had to leave early, unfortunately, but I certainly got nearly 10 days out of it. And it takes me, I don't know about you, but it takes me a good week to just go, Brian, you're on holiday.
Yeah.
You don't have a gig later. Calm down.
Yeah.
Now, you'd think I would know that because we've just been in lockdown for 2 years.
Yeah.
But as you say, I had all kinds of weird health things and different things. So it was the first time, I suppose, that I just really thought, I could actually just get in the sea.
Yes.
And, you know, because I have the colostomy situation, it's always a wee bit like, oh, can I? What's going to happen? I'm here to tell anybody out there with a bag, with my ostomates, I call them, it's perfectly fine to get in the sea with a colostomy bag or two in my case.
Mm.
You know, and it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. You swim around, they stay attached, and even if they get a wee bit looser, just change it later on. It's all good.
And listening to you, it's a big moment when you've come through what you've come through.
Yeah.
You're out there on the Greek islands. Have you ever been anywhere in your travels? Because you've been all over the world with work, with Van the Man.
Yeah. Secret Garden in China. I did a big Chinese tour with them.
Has there been one particular place where you've kind of been overwhelmed by the enormity of the feeling of where you are?
Yeah.
Or maybe has there been somewhere where it feels like home? You just get somewhere and instantly you feel at home.
Well, the overwhelming thing would certainly be China, because I mean, when you're on tour like that, suddenly you're in one city and one city has like 42 million people for just one city. And then we flew every day on that tour because that's what it took to get to the next city. And just walking around the street, and literally it's like Grafton Street on Christmas Eve. You know, it's just packed full of people. People like eating things like a big lollipop stick with an entire deep fat fried crab on the end of it, the size of your head. And they're like crunching, and they're crunching away on that. And that's a wee snack, you know. And then other people hooping up a load of phlegm right in front of you. And that's really normal as well. But I loved it because they adore their, you know, I think traveling should be like conscription. I think when you get to 18, you should have, by law, travel for 1 year on your own or with friends, because it absolutely, you know, builds all of these extensions in your mind of things you would never have thought about before. It's very healthy to feel like a minority. It's very healthy to have to respect other people's cultures, even though you don't really understand it, things like that. And then your palate opens up, of course, because of all the food. So when you do come home, I think it really just, it widens your soul somehow.
Yes.
It widens your empathy somehow, because you really learn that stuff when you travel.
Mm. Your worst travel experience.
I don't even have to think about that. Picture it, if you will, listeners. I'm in Sitges. I'm feeling all good. Sitges is the big kind of gay destination. I went with a friend thinking this is going to be great. Slapped on the Factor 50, put the oil on, went on the beach, guzzling the beer, having a lovely time. You know, again, one of those times when I buzzed my hair off, having a great time. Nobody knows me. This is great. I'd put a bit of weight on it.
So that's what you do whenever you want to go in incognito. You just shave your
sometimes
head.
Sometimes I do that. Yeah, sometimes. And Bono takes his glasses off, didn't he? I love that. And I put the glasses on. So there I am. And unfortunately, after a big, long, drunken afternoon, somebody said to me, excuse me, you're looking very red. And what had happened was I'd gotten really serious sunburn and I hadn't noticed it. And, you know, sunburn is the cumulative. So it's only when I got back to the hotel room My whole body was on fire, and that night was a nightmare. I came out in massive boils and sores, like I'd really taken it too far. So I had to literally get the train the next day to Barcelona, change my flights, fly back home again after 48 hours of being away. And I completely messed it up, and I had serious sunburn, and I had to be treated for sunstroke. And I had massive scabs on my nose, on my cheeks, on my shoulders. Oh. It was a disaster holiday.
And one that will, so you'll never do it again.
Never did it again.
You've experienced that.
So there I was in Greece 2-3 weeks ago with a factor 50 on in the shade, like a sensible boy.
Holiday romances?
I would say holiday lust, really.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't very romantic. It was, you know, gay men, for goodness sake. You know, I'm not saying about all gay men, but I'm just saying the ones I know. You know, it's usually an opportunity to have a little bit of fun, regardless of what your proclivity is, you know.
Yeah.
Certainly, I've had a few rummages in the sea, we'll say that, and a few drunken snogs.
I always think with holiday romances, I mean, they're so surreal and they're so beautiful because they're really not about the person. It's just about the whole experience.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You kind of project onto them the lovely like place that you're in or the beach
and
or the cocktails
no
or the experience. And you're in their world
right.
and they're in yours. And
yeah,
it's
that's
just,
right.
You know,
yeah, sometimes I kind of invent personalities for myself.
Yeah.
You know, they'll say to me, so what do you do? If they don't know I'm a singer,
yeah.
I'll invent some backstory, maybe.
Yeah.
Or certainly not just give away any information at all.
I remember, right, we were in New Mexico.
Yeah.
Like 100 years ago, we were filming and we were in this place called Taos, which is kind of like a Native American. There's like 23 different tribes there. It's a little, all adobe buildings. It's beautiful. And we were out filming on this Native American Indian reservation, and we were filming with this beautiful specimen of a man all day, and I fell in love with him. It was like full Dances with Wolves.
It happens.
And he had the moccasins and the long hair, and then he'd made jewellery, so he said, can I, you know, he said I'm coming into town later, can I buy you a drink? We weren't working the next day. I said absolutely.
Fantastic.
Well, over 3 or 4 beers, I swear I had moved my entire life. I said I can do this.
Sure.
I can
I'll
move out to the reservation.
Certainly.
I can plait my hair. I just like I can do this. My family come visit me. I can live off the land.
Listen, if anybody could do it, you could do it, because I know you.
Next day woke up, I was like on my way to Dublin thinking about the VAT returns, you know, I had to do next week. But
and where did that go? Did it go anywhere? Did he come to Ireland?
That's for a whole other show, or maybe not.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the production team going, we want more than that. Come on. You can't be holding back.
It is forever a memory. It is forever a memory.
Sounds hot,
all right. Thank you for going down your memory and letting us go together and
welcome.
Journey together.
You're
it's
welcome.
Been lovely
you're
to see
welcome.
You.
Can I tell you about my gig tomorrow? You're
I was
going to
say, you're doing
go
a gig
on.
Tomorrow, August 13th, the Spirit Store in Dundalk.
It's a brilliant venue. The next time in Kilkenny in the afternoon, there's an amazing festival on to celebrate. It's actually about men's health.
Great.
Jerzy Kaminska, you might have had her in, of course.
Yes.
You know, Fiacna's ex-partner and Leodon's mom. She lost her partner very sadly to a heart attack, similar to mine. You know, I'm very lucky. And of course, then today's episode of Around the World in 80 Gays, my podcast with Catherine Lynch, is out today.
Love it.
Wherever you listen to your podcasting, tune in. Martin Ward is our guest today, who's a wonderful, fabulous gay traveller.
Love it. Love it.
Well, try to get Jack O'Rourke on.
Yes.
Yeah,
we'll do.
Him.
Grab
He's
him in the corridor.
Him, yeah.
He's in the corridor. We're going to have him in a few minutes. We're going to have a song for him. But first, we're going to have a song for you. This is from your new album, Folky. This is Song for Ireland, Brian Thank Kennedy.
You. Thank you, darling.
Great to see you.
Walking on the day near tall towers where falcons build their nests. Silver winged they fly, they know the call of freedom in their breasts. Saw black head against the sky, where twisted rocks they run to the sea. Living on your western shore, saw summer sunsets, asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea and sang a song for Ireland. Drinking all the day in old pubs where fiddlers love to play. Someone touched the bow, he played a reel, it seemed so grand and gay. Stood on Dingle Beach and cast in wild foam, we found Atlantic bass. Living on your western shore, saw summer sunsets, ask for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea, and I sang a song for Ireland.
The one and only Brian Kennedy with that one and only voice. Lots of love coming in. Kathleen says, sending greetings to Brian. I've been praying for his recovery for years. Hope he is well. He is absolutely well, Kathleen, which is brilliant. Veronica says, I met Brian in Galway Leisure Centre in 97 when he played a gig, and I was so chuffed when he asked my name for the autograph. And when I replied Veronica, he sang Elvis Costello's and her name was Veronica. That's lovely. Mary in Tramore says, lovely to hear Brian on your show. I hope he's keeping well. Lovely listening to Brian, says Kay as well. My favourite song, Life, Love, Happiness. It's a constant on my daily Spotify list. Out power walking. Yes, travel is the best education. My favourite destination is Singapore. We'll get to a few more of them. Jack O'Rourke is going to be in to do a little number for us as well. But first, let's take a quick break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
I'm joined now in the studio by Cork musician Jack O'Rourke. Good to see you, my friend. How are you keeping?
I'm good, Catherine. How are you?
Good. Yeah, good, good. You're going to play a few tunes for us, including an Olivia Newton-John cover, which I am dying to hear. I mean, it's been some week, but you're the one that I want. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. You're going to play that a little bit later.
My black letter to get ready for.
Oh, well, I mean, what a legend. What an icon.
She was,
She was amazing. It was lovely hearing the tributes for her all week, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And just a great singer, I think. You know, I think people like her and Diana Ross, because they're such stars. But I think her tone and her
voice.
Yeah,
people kind of forget how good her voice actually was.
Beautiful singer, yeah.
Yeah. So you are going to do that for us. And there's also the RTE Concert Orchestra presents Thin Lizzy Orchestrated. That's something that you're taking part in as well, which sounds amazing.
Yeah, it'll be great. And Collinson's Barracks live with the orchestra. So rock meets classical. And myself, Wallace Bird, Tom Dunn, Shobzy, Jess Cav and Mundy. I don't think I've forgotten anyone.
Okay, well done. You got them all in. Yeah. Are you a Phil Lynott fan?
Very much since a kid, my mom and dad as well. Just growing up listening to Old Town, and I think he was so cool, you know. And he was probably the first. I think, you know, he was black and he was so different for Ireland back then. He was just a revolutionary
figure.
What a legend.
Absolutely. So that's happening August 27th. But listen, let's get some music going now. What are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play a song from my album Wild Place. It's called Runaway Train.
Take it away.
Landscape flashes, bend down the hatches, trees and streams, movie reels through windows on a train, shades of you, midnight blue, fall into the unknown. They don't fade away. If you store them for a winter, they don't fade away. If you keep them in your larder, I wanna make love to you on a runaway train. No route or tracks of tears, just an open rolling plain. We'll crash into ocean, wrapped in waves of foam. Lost in you, you lost in me, our way to roam on a runaway train.
Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, I'm joined by a woman who has found a new lease of life through the fast-growing sport of freediving, which was in the news yesterday, actually, with French freediver Arnaud Gérald. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He broke the world record. But Dubliner Nina McGowan is here to tell us about this intense underwater activity and her bid to represent Ireland in the World Championships. Nina, how are you? Good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks for inviting me. Yeah.
So sit in a little bit to the mic if you don't mind. So tell us exactly, first of all, what is freediving?
So freediving is going underwater without the use of any tanks or breathing apparatus. So we hold our breath and we go down. And there's a sport built up around it that kind of sees how deep it can go, basically, with either fins or no fins. I do no fins.
Okay.
How
did you get into it? I mean, were you scuba diving before this?
I was scuba diving. I was swimming as a kid. I don't remember ever learning how to swim. My dad dived in the 60s with my godfather. I grew up on a harbour, playing on Rex. It was just always there.
In Dublin, was it?
In Balbriggan Harbour.
Balbriggan,
yeah.
Okay, wow.
Like right there on the beach, the seaweed used to come over the railings. So I had the sea all around me all the time. It was magical. But I got into, yeah, so my dad scuba dived. We had like bits and pieces of boats in the house when he had pulled up as a kid. So I think in the year 2002, I was traveling with my sister in Honduras, started scuba diving,
okay.
Stayed there, did my dive master, worked after that as a wreck tour guide in Cyprus. So I used to take people through the duty free on the Zenobia, which okay. was a car ferry in Larnaca Harbour.
And is it still there?
It is. It rolled over on its side. So
you can actually dive through the duty free.
Absolutely. Wow. They dragged it out. It was going down really slow and it was blocking the harbour. So they dragged the wreck out and they dropped it. It's quite shallow. It's about 40 metres of water, but it's on its side. So the trucks are nose to tail. So they're like pillars as you go through the car decks. And then above you is all these bottles of pop, you know, plastic bottles, part of the cargo.
All still there.
Yeah, so it's
amazing. So scuba diving is a very different sport then to free diving. So how do you train to be a free diver? Like what actually, I mean, obviously you've got to hold your breath. How long can you hold your breath? Because you're a record holder.
Yeah, no, look, my breath hold is really crap compared to, say, Claire and Cathy both have much, the other free divers that compete for Ireland.
Okay.
I do 3.5 minutes. You know, it's not something I train.
3.5 minutes under, you can
but
hold
anybody,
your
look, the mammalian dive reflex is this like ancient piece of software. When your face is wet, it thinks, crikey, maybe we're going to go and hunt underwater, and allows you to hold your breath for much longer. Like these physiological changes, they're quite incredible. When you relax the nervous system, you do this belly breathing. The vagus nerve is this kind of big long nerve that goes down to the diaphragm, and the diaphragm, everything is connected. You can tell your whole body it's okay, and and let's do this. So you do. There's a lot of preparation, and we do breath hold. We do CO2 tolerance, breathing, and meditation, and yoga.
That's
you have
what
to be soft.
About to say. Yeah. Is it like because it really is kind of connecting and being in tune with your body and getting rid of fear.
Fear.
So
it's
I suppose
a mental sport.
Absolutely. Like, when you're descending, and where do you practice this? Because I'd imagine there's not a lot of places in Ireland
there's
where you can free dive down to.
Shallow water, no. So there's a few places. It really needs to be deep water close to shore because we have equipment that we bring out, and for safety reasons, you have to be kind of, you know, close in. And you don't want to be swimming for ages. Otherwise, you take a boat out. So places
And just so I'm sure, like you're attached onto a line.
Yeah.
And you go down a line.
Yeah,
and it's
exactly. So we have this floating buoy. It's like a big kind of like a tire. That's a crude way of describing it. But we keep our ropes in that. We drop down a length of, say, 50 or 60 metres, whatever the target is. I'm leashed with a lanyard around my waist.
Mm-hmm.
We use little flotation devices on the top. I breathe up. And then when we're ready, or if it's in a competition scenario, we're given a countdown and we do the dive. Yeah.
And I love it because I know you in the article in the Indo, you're 50 years of age.
Yeah.
And it's like it's such a positive message that you can go and go to the World Championships and represent Ireland. Age doesn't come into it.
It doesn't really. I started this when I was 47 and it's you know,
I love that.
But it's not an adrenaline sport. Mm. It's something that it's more of a mental sport and people of all ages can do. But look, I think in general, women need to be more encouraged. It's crazy that we see sport as something that a small group of elite males do. But it's a joyous activity, you know.
And I loved because I read a quote from you that just really stuck out for me. And you said, under the water is somewhere you go to dream.
I suppose it's really interesting because when you're down there and you're suspended on the line, there is nothing. It's silent. You don't hear your breath and you don't see anything. So it's like being in front of a big, like say a Rothko or a Colourfield painting. The mind starts to make up its own. You know, you lose yourself underwater. But the good thing about that is that you get to find yourself repeatedly. So you're in this moment of awe. And it's precisely that kind of sense of awe that we'd need to protect, you know, to help us through this climate thing. So I'm an advocate now coming back out. You know, the night sky, the underwater space, and to have these experiences. And time is weird underwater. So you might just experience this for a split second, but you retain it.
It's amazing. Nina McGowan, free diver, lovely chatting to you today and good luck getting to the World Championships.
Thank you so much.
And Nish Toshin, I'm the Prief Scalton Anukta, the Seamus McDonagh. Gurmagot, Seamus, a text from Geraldine has come in. Catherine, we're heading to Parkyquee from Killarney to see Westlife. 32 degrees in the car, looking forward to the concert, but not the heat. Thanks to my daughter Molly for driving us up. 32 degrees in the car, up the kingdom, says Geraldine. All right, drive safe, ladies. Okay, now it is time for this. Yes, we are reeling in the ears. We have gathered up sounds and clips from the years and the decades, and we have two players who are going to battle it out today for the fantastic prize. What are they playing for? They're playing for two nights bed and breakfast with one dinner for two adults sharing in a 4-star hotel in the iNua collection. So they have hotels right up and down the country, from Kilkenny's chic Hibernian Hotel to Dundalk's Fairways Hotel, the Tullamore Court Hotel, the Hillgrove Hotel in Monaghan, or any of the Radisson Blue hotels in Athlone, Cork, Limerick and Sligo. So something for everybody to enjoy. And if you didn't get lucky today getting through on the line, you can check out the iNua collection, www.inua.ie. So we asked, today is World Elephant Day, what was the Disney movie featuring the little elephant with big dreams and even bigger ears? And the answer was, of course, Dumbo. Two people to get that right was Bridget and Orla. Bridget in Cork and Orla in Dublin 8. Good afternoon, ladies.
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
Hi.
I'm all good this morning, all good this afternoon even. Why do I keep saying this morning? This is like, it's definitely Friday. Bridget, you are player number one. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Youghal. I'm sure you're familiar with the Catherine.
Oh, lovely part.
I'm sure a few times.
Yes, lovely part of the world. Absolutely lovely part of the world. And what are you doing today? Are you chilling out or?
I'm off today. So just, I'm actually, I was putting a table together, a bit of DIY. So.
Oh, look at you. Putting a table, like a kitchen table together.
Now, to be honest, it's just a matter of putting legs on it. So.
Okay, okay. It's and not, are you doing that? Are you doing that outside or are you doing that inside?
I'm doing it inside, but it's very close to a door.
Okay, thank
and
God.
A breeze coming in, so it's not too bad.
Okay, okay. And are you working? Are you at home? Or?
Yeah, no, I work in digital documents here in Youghal.
Okay.
They have storage facility and they do large-scale scanning.
Okay.
So I've been there quite a while, 25 years actually this year.
Very good, very good.
Yeah.
So the Ironman is on in Youghal this weekend,
it is.
I've been told.
It is.
That's great.
Yes.
Are you getting ready to participate or spectate?
No, definitely spectate. But there is one of the girls at work and she is participating. So
okay, brilliant.
Wishing her the very best of luck. Her name is Ina.
Ina.
Ina Walsh.
Good luck. Fair play to you. It's some competition.
It is.
It really is. But what a weekend for it.
So Bridget, better.
If you were to win this lovely weekend away and you can go to pretty much anywhere in Ireland, it seems, who would you bring with you?
I have to think. Maybe people would have to interview for that.
I love it.
I have somebody in mind.
Make them work for it. Make them work for it, Bridget.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, stay on the line. Orla in Dublin 8, how are you this afternoon?
Not too bad now at all, Catherine.
Good. And what have you been getting up to on this Friday afternoon?
Well, I was at, I met a friend for lunch. There's a food truck not too far away, actually, from yourself.
Yes.
Kirribinny in Inchicore. So had a lovely lunch.
They've
there
just opened
the
there, yeah.
That's right.
And
yeah,
how was it? Was it nice? What
really
did you get?
Really good, really good. Got a lovely mozzarella cheese sandwich, really nice. And
oh, lovely.
Melon lemonade.
You see, now we know Dublin 8 has been officially gentrified. Now
oh,
that the Kirribinny
totally,
lads
totally
have come in.
Yeah, yeah.
And what are you doing for the weekend? Any plans?
I am going to Donegal. A friend of mine had a baby up there a few months ago, so I am going up to see her and hopefully get a bit of the sun as well.
Yeah, what part of Donegal is she in?
I'm Priscilla.
Oh, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm such a fan of Donegal. I love it.
Yeah,
I absolutely love it. And what about you, Orla? If you were to win, who would you take with you?
Well, the war at the Bridges now, you know, I might do a bit of interviewing as well.
Yeah. Exactly, exactly. You know, you've got to pick your travel partners carefully, ladies. That's what I say.
Absolutely.
You could have the best friends in the world, but you can only travel with a certain few, right?
That's true.
All right, Bridget and Orla, do you want to wish each other the best of luck?
Best of luck, Orla.
Okay,
thank
ladies.
You.
Bridget, you are player number one, so we are going to start with you. Now, the year is 2020, so not that long ago.
Okay.
And it is a television question, Bridget. So what are you thinking? Do you want to go long or do you want to chance a short one for 2 points?
I'll go long this time, please.
Go long. Okay. Lily Collins stars as an American woman who moves to a European city for her marketing job. Can you name the TV show which had its debut in 2020?
Yes, that was Emily in Paris.
Very unfortunate.
Bridget, fair play to you. We didn't even have to play the clip. You should have gone for short, so you've banked 1 point. That's on the board. Well done for you. Orla, back to you. So this is your TV question. Do you want to go long or short?
I'll go long.
You'll go long as well. Okay, to get 1 point. So this gives you a long clip. Take a listen. This offbeat comedy set in the afterlife starring Kristen Bell and Ted Danson ended after four seasons in 2020. Can you name it?
Oh, Eleanor. Oh, my goodness.
Now, you need to be sure about this. You're going to live down there for, like, some amount of time. You'll die, really die. Then you'll enter an afterlife test, be judged on what you did, the whole deal. At least so we think. While you're down there, this entire system could be changed.
Okay, Orla, do you know the name of the show?
The Good Place.
Yes, well done you, fair play. So that's 1 point each, ladies. Bridget, back to you. This is music. Remember, the year is 2020. Do you want to go long or short?
I'll go short this time.
Go short, okay, to try and nab 2 points. This Irish singer went to the top of the charts with this single in 2020. We will take either the name of the song or the singer.
The hope and the hurt has lived inside of me.
Okay. Dermot Kennedy.
Yes, Bridget, you are on fire today, girl. That is 2 points for you. Orla, back to you. This is your music question. Are you going to go long or short?
Short.
Go short. Okay. For 2 points, this was in the top 10 of Ireland's most listened to songs in 2020. Can you name the song or the singer?
Tastes like strawberries on a summer evening.
Oh, that was very short. Orla, what do you think? Any ideas?
Is that Dermot Kennedy as well?
No, unfortunately it wasn't, Orla. It was Harry Styles, the one and only Harry Styles with Watermelon Sugar. Not to worry. Okay, Bridget, back to you. Now, Bridget, if you get this right, it means you are our winner today. So you can either choose to go long or short. So what's it going to be? Do you want to play it safe, or are you going to go for the 2 points to go out in glory?
I'll go for a short.
You'd go for a short. Okay. So this is for 2 points. If you get this right today, Bridget, you win the competition. Okay, this is a news question. It is for 2 points. Dublin's Dalkey had a new A-list resident who got stuck in the scenic suburb during the first lockdown. Can you remember the actor that this news report was about?
A photo of the actor heading for a swim in Dalkey went viral last month, leading to widespread speculation about his whereabouts.
Who were they talking about, Bridget? Can you remember?
Matt Damon.
Yes! Woo! Well done, you. That infamous shot of him with a Super Value bag. All right, Bridget, that is brilliant. That means you are our winner today. Hard
Thank
luck,
so
Orla.
Much.
We are going to be sending.
Oh, lovely. Thanks, Orla.
We are going to be sending you, Orla, 2 Ray Darcy Show mugs. We'll get them out to you. So enjoy the rest of the afternoon. Drive safely up to Donegal. Lovely chatting to you. So, Bridget, that means you've got a lot of thinking to do this weekend.
Oh, fantastic. And I'm thrilled.
Now the fawning phone calls. The fawning phone calls and texts will start.
Exactly. I'll probably have to wait a little while because my son and his girlfriend are due a baby in about 3 or 4 weeks. So.
Oh! Is it their first?
I better not go anywhere before then, just in case.
And is it their first?
It's their first, yeah.
And is it your first grandchild? Or?
It is,
amazing.
They're actually heading up to Westlife today, so I think she's crazy. But anyway,
they better have lots of water.
She might end up in the maternity unit this evening,
They'll mind her. He'll mind her. They'll mind her there. Brilliant. Well, listen, best of luck to them. On the arrival of their little bundle, and congratulations to you, new grandmother, and enjoy the weekend. Nice chatting to you, Bridget.
You too, Catherine. Thanks so much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
the wonderful Sinead O'Connor there. Okay, back for its third run from this October is the raunchy chatline show Dirty Dusters. It's playing across Ireland and promises up to be a wild night of phone-based fun. And joining me in studio, not on the phone, to talk Dirty Dusters is Jake Carter. How are you, sir?
I'm great.
Listen, firstly, happy belated birthday for yesterday.
Thank you. I'm getting old now.
I saw you had a Colin the Caterpillar cake.
I did, yes. I'm never too old to have a caterpillar cake. Every year my mum gets me one of them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you were 24 yesterday?
24, yeah. Okay. Although I feel like I'm about 40.
Oh God, stop. You're so young. What did you get up to? Did you do anything nice?
Nothing really yesterday. Myself and Karen were over in Liverpool the last week, so we just got home yesterday and just chilled. And got takeaway and relaxed for us.
Is it as hot in Liverpool? Because I know London is melting. Is it as hot there?
It's not as hot as London because we were in London for a day as well, but it's warm, yeah.
Okay.
Poor Lenny, the dog, was just zonked.
Oh God, they find it tough, don't they?
I tell you.
I have two at home and we had the two big wet towels over them this morning already. You know,
cooling mats, ice, everything.
And it's really hard to leave for work when you see them so passed out. They're like chilling out and you know, just enjoying the sun.
Yeah, that's it. Just relaxing.
So listen, tell us about Dirty Dusting because it's your first time with the show.
It is, yeah. So Dirty Dusting is kind
Dirty
of...
Dirty
like,
Dusting.
It's a much more Scouse way of saying it. It's a comedy play about these three mature ladies, should we say, and they are cleaners in an office building, and I play Dave, who is the office manager, and without saying too much, they get told that they're being let go. So they then decide for their last weekend they're going to make a bit of extra cash by opening up a sex line.
Brilliant.
And as you can imagine where it goes from there, it's hilarious. I've never actually seen the show. I read the script about a year ago because we were meant to do it 6 months ago and then it got pushed back. And I read the script on a flight home from Liverpool. And I'd say the people around me were like, what is this fella doing? Because I couldn't stop laughing.
Like,
it's hilarious. And that was just from reading the script. So I can't wait to actually start rehearsing now and get the show on the road in October.
Okay, so these are the three ladies. They're in their 70s and 80s.
They are. They've been miscast, I'm telling you. The ladies that I'm working with are much younger than that.
So tell us who you're working with.
So I'm working with Mary Byrne. Yeah, is obviously playing the main role. And I've never actually had the chance to work with Mary before.
Okay.
But I've met her at a few different kind of events.
She's such a national treasure. She's amazing.
She's hilarious as well. And like, alone without a script, I can't keep a straight face around her. So you can imagine what it's going to be like when we actually have to keep a straight face with a script as well. So I'm looking forward to it. This is my first ever time doing like a comedy play as well. I mean, I wouldn't call myself an actor, but I've done a lot of acting gigs for some reason. I've done loads of pantomimes.
Well, that's what I was
going
to say. You've done a lot of panto, but this is very different.
Completely different, yeah. So it's going to have to be a different approach. With pantomimes, it's, you know, you can kind of just get away with doing anything.
You can
go completely off script and everything's all right. But whereas this, you know, it's not as open as a pantomime, so they're still sticking to the lines and not breaking character, which is going to be the toughest thing to do.
And how are you with lines and rehearsing lines and memorising?
I wouldn't be too bad, to be honest. I always shock myself. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
I think as a singer as well, it becomes like second nature, does it?
I consider myself very lucky because I know a lot of actors that I've worked with over the past, you know, get really stressed out, and I kind of just say, you know, be grand. And I actually record myself saying lines, so my voice notes are just like filled with like different jobs that I've done that are like just random scenes.
So you record, and then if you're going out for a run or a walk, you
listen to myself talking.
Okay, yeah. amazing. So the show, like, it's not the first time that it was planned. It's been put on before as well,
two times before, and then we were meant to start in February. And obviously with everything that was going on then, you know, the industry was just getting back onto its feet. So they decided to push it back and it's officially happening now in October. So there's dates literally all over the country. I think there's over 20 shows that we're doing. So I can't wait to get on the road now with it and try to keep a straight face.
How do you think the Bell Mary Byrne will measure up against the band that you're used to?
she would wipe the floor with them. The lads wouldn't be able. My band wouldn't be able. Yeah.
She's some set of pipes, doesn't she?
I tell you, she's amazing. I'm just a bluffer compared to her.
And is there any improvisation, like when it comes in the play? Because in a lot of these, you know, when you're rehearsing, stuff happens in rehearsal that then ends up in the script. But
yeah,
is there an opportunity
I'm
for improvisation?
I'm not actually sure, because we haven't started rehearsing yet. I mean, from chatting to Mary and chatting to Richard, who's producing the show, that the guys are very relaxed, you know what I mean? They seem very happy-go-lucky and they're just there to put on a good show. And already I can see it's going to be very, very funny behind the scenes, never mind on stage. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see
and find out. Well, people can get tickets. They're available at mansworthproductions.com/dirtydusting. You've just released a new single as well.
I have. We've two new singles that were out and we're back in the studio now. I'm releasing an EP at the end of the year. So
good for you. Let's take a little listen.
Are you going to take me home?
I was just saying to Jake there when the track was playing, it's quite Ollie Murs.
Yeah, was that an Ollie Murs? When was that? It was probably about 3 years ago now. But yeah, it'd be very kind of upbeat, poppy and feel-good pop tune.
Feel-good pop. What we need on a Friday as well. Listen, Jake, thanks for coming in. Always a pleasure and good luck.
Thanks so much for having me.
And speaking of feel-good music, Jack O'Rourke is back in studio with us. Ooh. And yes, and is going to play You're the One That I Want by Olivia Newton-John.
John Travolta. Do you want to do it?
Yeah, we've got the man who can move here.
Okay.
Is this a kind of a slowed down version?
It's a dark,
dark, moody, dark,
bluesy
moody version.
Country version.
Okay, take it away. Okay. Love it.
I got chills. They're multiplying. And I'm losing control. 'Cause the power you're supplying, it's electrifying. Better shape up, 'cause I need a man. Set on you, I better shape up, I better understand. To my heart I must be true, nothing left for me to do. You're the one that I want.
Beautiful. Jack O'Rourke and half of the team have come down from upstairs. They're drooling in the window now. So what a way to finish this show. Thank you so much. That is all from us. Drive Time is next with John Cook. Have a fabulous weekend.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.